Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Madhava Kunjabi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Jana Ballabha Girivara Dhari. Listen. Gopi Jana Ballabha Girivara Dhari. Girivara Dhari. Jasoda Nandana Braja Janarandana Jasoda Nandana Braja Janarandana Jamana Thiravana Chari Jamuna Tera Vanachadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrigacharaja By His Divine Grace is He Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Or Primanandi. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Continuing. Subject that gopis glorify Krishna's flute. Text 11. Danyasma modha katayo piharinya eta. Ya nanda nanda namupata vichit. Akarnya venam ranitam saha krishna sara Pujam dadhurvit virachitam pranaya vedokai Danyasma Mutha Gatayopi Harinya Eta Yananda Nanda Namupata Vichitra Vesham Akarnya Venam Ranitam Saha Krishna Sada Hojam Dadhurve Charitam virachitam pranaya valokai. Would somebody like to chant? Buddha katayo piharinya eta. Nanda Nandana Upata Vichitra Besham. Pujam Dator Vicharitam Pranaya Vilokai. Danyas mamuta katayo piharinya eta. Yas mabuddha katayo piharinya etta. Yananda nandanam upata vichitravesham. Akanya venum rajitam chak krishna ekaram. Pujam dator Rachitam Pranaya Vilokai. Danyas Mamuta Katayo Piharinya Eta. Yananda Nandanam Upata Vichitravesham. Akarnya Venum Tamsaha Krishna Sara. Ujam Dator Vacharitam Pranaya Vibho. Danya. Fortunate. Blessed. Sma. Certainly. Modha Gatayo. Having taken birth in an ignorant animal species. Api, although, Harinyaha, she deer, Etaha, these, Yaha, who, Nanda, Nandanam, the son of Maharaj Nanda. Upata vichitravesham, dressed very attractively. Akarnya, hearing. Venu ranitam, the sound of his flute. Saha krishnasara, accompanied by the black deer, their husbands. Pujam dadho, they worshipped. Virachitam, performed. Pranaya avalokai, by their affectionate glances. Purport blessed, the translation, excuse me. Blessed are all these foolish deer because they have approached Maharaj Nanda's son, who is gorgeously dressed and is playing on his flute. Indeed, both the doe and the bucks worship the Lord with looks of love and affection. Purport. This translation is quoted from Srila Prabhupada's Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 1736. According to the Acharyas, the gopis were thinking as follows, quote, the female deer can approach Krishna along with their husbands because Krishna is the ultimate object of affection for the male deer. Because of their affection for Krishna, they are encouraged by seeing their wives attracted to him. and thus consider their household lives fortunate indeed. They become joyful upon seeing how their wives are searching after Krishna, and following along, they urge their wives to go to the Lord. On the other hand, our husbands are jealous of Krishna, and because of their lack of devotion to him, they cannot even stand the smell of his fragrance. Therefore, what is the use of our lives? Compliments of starting with Vishwanath. Alas, though we are more intelligent, our life has become useless. Since we cannot meet Krishna, the less intelligent creatures have become successful in meeting Krishna. How is that? Unquote. This sentiment is expressed in this verse. Sma is an exclamation of astonishment or lamentation. Oh, sma. We do not have such good fortune. There are two readings, Venum, Ranitam, and Venu, Rapitam. The meaning is the same. Sounded on the flute is the meaning. Quote, hearing the sound of the flute, the does with affection nourished Krishna, pujam dadhu, with their glances. I mean, that's interesting. It's the transitive verb. It's action, their glance is doing something unto Krishna, not the other way around. They see Krishna and something is happening to them. That's the reading here. The does with affection nourished Krishna with their glances. So then, what to say of the glances that we intelligent beings have given to Krishna? Question mark. Their husbands, the Krishna Sara, parentheses, those who take Krishna alone as object of worship, also worship him. Seeing their wives so attracted to Krishna, the husbands become overjoyed, thinking that their married life has become successful by this, and following their wives go to meet Krishna. We are so unfortunate that just by a trace of anything connected with Krishna, our husbands become violent. This is a nice verse to explain to people when their spouse is different than them. Jiva Goswami's commentary. What to speak of the glory of Vrindavan, the shelter of all jivas, dear to the Lord. Let us describe the good fortune of the animals that take shelter there, because so the theme is the flute, and what to speak of the flute, the place, and what to speak of the place, the animals that take shelter in the place. But in connection with the flute, the thread is the flute, and then different entities being benefited by the flute. So now it's the animals taking shelter in Vrindavan. The doe's knowledge is without discrimination. though the does wander through the forest, they are seen by him. They worship the son of Nanda. And he comments, Nanda indicates that he, Nanda, is endowed with all great qualities, giving joy. They mention Nanda's name, even though he is an elder, since their minds are bewildered by uncontrollable agitation. So they're speaking confidentially amongst themselves. And, you know, Nanda is the authority as the father of Krishna, but they're speaking amongst themselves, and, you know, the authority figure is you young girls that are attracted to Krishna may want to hide from Nanda their attraction for Krishna. You know, girls and the father of the boy. But nonetheless, they're talking amongst themselves and mention specifically, this is Jiva Goswami's rendering, is the glories of Nanda, who has all great qualities, and those great qualities give joy. And they're going there because there's so much, their minds have become overcome, bewildered by uncontrollable agitation, so they don't even think about Nanda, the authority that we hide our feelings from. Krishna has accepted colorful attire of forest garland and head ornaments of peacock feathers, mentioned in the previous verse, and gunja beads instead of ranitam, an alternative ripitam. Parentheses, guttural sound is seen. So, just a comment. Our acharyas have access to things we don't have access to. There's different versions of Srimad Bhagavatam that even just one word, they didn't do a folio search. They just have these memories. Amazing memories. Some persons are gifted, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, some persons are gifted with memory. Some persons are gifted with cooking. Some persons are gifted with dancing. So whatever your gift is, this is something over here. One of the pieces of information from research, neurologist, somebody from Spain, those who chant Sanskrit several hours a day, their memory increases by 3 to 4 times. So whatever your endowment is, chant lots of Sanskrit and your capacity for memory will increase. There are certain devotees in ISKCON that have this amazing capacity for memory. And it's increased, expanded, whatever, from recitation. Just a little, I'll come back to the purport. One time, some years ago, one of the earliest, I think it was the first or the second year of the Navadvip Mandal Parikrama that was being conducted. The second morning, so the first day of the Navadvip Parikrama ends at the Jagannath Mandir. Just go down the Bhakti Siddhanta Road, and by the end of the day, we're at the Jagannath Mandir, and everyone finds a place to take rest somewhere out there in the park and so forth. And then bathing early in the morning is really seen because this is
only a few places, and it's kind of soggy. And because of the distance that we had to travel to go to the next place, it's the sun has not risen yet. It's that period of dawn, Brahma Muhurta. So we set out by foot, and a few hundred yards, 500 yards, whatever, away, there's a river. We have to cross the river by boat. And there were supposed to be multiple boats, and there were only three. And crossing the river, one of the boats sank right in the middle of the river. The devotees got wet. And so it took a long time to cross the river because there was two instead of three boats. And the devotees were, you know, especially the ones wet, were shivering because it's early morning. It wasn't warm yet. So to keep the devotees entertained, over here was Dravida reciting from memory an entire chapter of Krishna book, but from Srimad Bhagavatam. And after he would recite the verse in Sanskrit from memory, Prahladananda Swami would cite the Krishna book, the equivalent, and then the next verse, and then the next Krishna book, and just everyone was standing around like, you know, they forgot their bodies. They forgot the boat that sank and everything, and the delay, and you know what delays are like. It's time passes slowly when there's a delay. But it was an exhibition of, it's very totally unplanned morning Krishna book class and Srimad Bhagavatam class. So some devotees just have that capacity, and it comes from the capacity of the brain to remember better from Sanskrit recitation on a regular basis. That was what this neurologist determined and published an article. He called it, the article was called The Sanskrit Effect. Okay, back to the verse. So, all that reference was, there is more than one version of the Bhagavatam. And they don't say this one's right and that one's wrong. They just, there's two words. One of them is, in one version it says ranitam, and another version says ripitam. Guttural sound is the meaning of ripitam, is seen. This indicates the first sound of the flute before ragas are played, and intimates the sound of the flute. You know, like somebody, before they start to play the flute, there's some riffs just to get just some sound. And then comes the ticket. So, this is Jiva Goswami's subtle rendering. Krishna Sara, parentheses, the male deer, also means those who are Krishna's most excellent beings, and thus is a criticism of the gopis' husbands. It is suggested that the gopis worshipped him with all ingredients of worship. They nourished worship, not the other way around. This means that they performed worship more thoroughly than others. That worship was done with excellence. The rachitam. The reason for superiority is given. They performed worship with glances filled with affection. Now the translation in Prabhupada's BBT version, which is referenced from the Chaitanya Charitamrita translation, is the deer, male and female, were glancing with affection. Jiva Goswami is saying here, they, the gopis, their worship was superior because, superior to anyone else who worships, because it was done with excellence, with glances filled with affection. That's this last phrase in the verse. Understanding Akarnya by hearing that he was playing the flute, controlling Krishna was dressed nicely by affectionate glances. They performed affectionate service. And then another detail, Nanda Nandanam becomes the object of the verb akarnya. It's a Sanskrit detail, but Nanda Nandanam is the object of a verb. And the verb akarnya is the service of hearing. Hearing the object, hearing Nanda Nandana. Their focus is one thing. And the flute of Krishna is part of Krishna's attractiveness. You know, the whole section, Venu Gita is the title. The gopis are just singing about Krishna's flute, which means they're singing about Krishna. Here's our Das Avatar. Sometimes in old paintings, it's not so easy to tell who's who, what the old painting is depicting. But if you see someone holding a bow, that's Ram. You see someone holding the chopper, Parashuram. See someone holding a sword, riding a white horse, Kalki, and so forth. You see someone holding a flute, there's no question. Because it's part of Krishna's attractiveness. Again, because I've been just dabbling a little bit, not deeply, in Brihat Bhagavatamrita. When Gopakumar goes from Vaikuntha, Narada Muni says, I understand your heart. Why don't you go see Krishna in Dwarka? I'll take you first to Ayodhya. You can stay there for a while if you want. You can stay much longer, but then go to Dwarka. So he goes to Ayodhya and experiences Ayodhya. And it's not the same. He likes, but it's not the same. And Ram, with his affectionate heart, Hanuman is the expert minister that keeps convincing him it's okay. And he becomes pacified, and then it's not okay. And then Hanuman pacifies him, but it's not okay. And Ram pulls him to a side where Hanuman's not there and says, go to Dwarka. Go immediately. No one's looking. Go immediately. So he somehow goes to Dwarka. And many things happen as he enters Dwarka. He's received with abundant happiness from the residents of Dwarka. He's dressed as a cowherd boy. And seeing him dressed as a cowherd boy, they are reminded of Krishna in his pastimes in Vrindavan, although they're in Dwarka. So they're very happy to see him, and they welcome him, and their splendor and this and that, and their beauty even exceeds that of the beauty of residents of Ayodhya, and so forth and so on. And they don't even take permission. They just bring him to see Uddhava, who brings him to see Krishna in Dwarka, seated on a fabulous throne made of gold and jewels, and you know the opulence of Dwarka is described abundantly. And because of his love, because of Gopakumar's love, he sees Nandanandana, not just his Dwarka feature. And he calls out, Madan Gopal, and starts running and faints. And after he recovers, Uddhava brings him, and Krishna's feet are extended, and Uddhava forcibly places Gopakumar's head on Krishna's feet. Krishna sees Gopakumar's flute, and he takes the flute, and he looks at the flute, and quietly, softly, he becomes tearful. Seeing, because the flute is Krishna in Vrindavan. There's no flute playing. There's no, it's special for Vrindavan. It's Krishna's feature in Vrindavan. The flute represents. And the residents of Vrindavan experience the sound of Krishna's flute. This whole section is describing how they experience. And it's very special. It stimulates the ecstatic, even hearing about it by udipan, by stimulations of ecstatic love, it stimulates ecstatic love for Krishna. Ecstatic love for Krishna, the Vraja Prema, just by hearing. What to speak of? The gopis are hearing. And they're in ecstasy. Yet at the same time, they're feeling themselves unfortunate. What's going on? You know, they're saying, hey, what's going on? The deer, these animals that are by birth mudha, they're less intelligent than we are. And they have this, they can go right to Krishna, we can't. And their husbands, the black deer, Krishna Sara, they also go. But we're not so fortunate. How unfortunate. I mean, they're so fortunate, but they're feeling unfortunate. It's so contradictory. So, you know, we have all these things that in worldly life, how to overcome negative emotion. It's like, it's a big deal. This and that. And beware, in the spiritual world, there's negative emotion. And they want to overcome the negative emotion, but they can't overcome the negative. It's an impenetrable obstacle. And it's part of, you know, the mystery of bhakti, is that negative emotion is an ecstasy. Negative emotion is an ecstasy. It's an ecstasy, and it enhances ecstatic love. There's this nice section in Brihat Bhagavatamrita where the three, Uddhava, Narada, and Gopakumar, are the two are giving training to to Gopakumar to get ready to go to Vrindavan, because it's happening in Dwarka. This is where Uddhava is. And both Narada and Uddhava understand, but feel themselves not qualified to enter. But they, Vrindavan, and reside there, but they feel Gopakumar is more exalted than us. He's qualified to enter and reside in Dwarka. So they're training him up to go to Vrindavan. Excuse me. He's qualified to enter into Vrindavan. So they train him up. And they prepare him for this negative emotion thing, because he's very familiar with it. But, you know, when you get to Vrindavan, it's even more. Even when you get the object that you've been hankering for, there's more negative emotion. You didn't use that term. And he, Narada Muni, starts to describe the feelings of separation of the resident in Vrindavan when Krishna goes from Vrindavan to Mathura. And then he says, normally it's not good to speak about this, because people hear about it and think, oh, I don't want to go there. I don't want to experience that, what they experience, the residents of Vrindavan. It's too intense. You shouldn't speak about it. But once he touches the subject, you can't stop speaking about it. And it goes on and on. And it's like very elaborate, mysterious description of what happens to this one, that one, the other one, the other one, the other one, what Krishna does with this one, that one, the other one, the other one, in this whole scene of before departing, getting on the chariot of Akura. And then what happens when he gets on the chariot. It's very elaborate. And it's all stimulations of ecstatic love and feelings of anticipation of separation and then separation. It's too painful, he says. We shouldn't speak about it. Because when people hear this, they don't want to, I don't want to go there. Too painful. He doesn't say, you know, according to Rupa Goswami, it's a stimulation of ecstatic love, it's good. He didn't say that. Rupa Goswami says that, and it is good. So, the gopis are glorifying, the whole chapter is they're glorifying Krishna's flute. And while doing so, they're feeling negative emotion. Ecstatic emotion. Sadness, transcendental sadness. We're so unfortunate. We don't think the gopis are unfortunate. They're the most exalted. And the most exalted are feeling unfortunate. Not just like a kind of humility. It's far more than kind of humility. It's an ecstasy. So we have to get to the humility place. And humility nourishes moving forward on our spiritual path, because that humility says, I need help. So it's calling out for mercy. It's, you start with chanting your rounds every morning. We need mercy. I'm already giving some thought to the next festival of the Holy Name and what that topic will be, and I'm thinking this should be one of those topics. The mood of humility and the mood of calling like this. To go this Sachinandan Swami's alignment of body, mind, and heart is the alignment of the heart. hell. So unfortunate. But we won't feel ourselves unfortunate if we don't hanker for the goal and recognize how far we are from the goal and our own effort is insufficient. We have to make effort, but it's insufficient. So this is a nice chapter to help stimulate the inspiration following this ideal example of the gopis. Even there, they are fortunate, they're feeling unfortunate. Okay, so any discussion? I like when you ask questions because I have to listen so attentively to understand your words. You can help me slowly, clearly. Thank you.
I'll try my best.
Okay.
This past time you were mentioning in the commentaries of the Acharyas where the female deers were considered more fortunate than the male deers, and the male deers followed the female deers. That reminds me of the pastime where the wives of the brahmanas,
yes,
the wives were considered more exalted than the brahmanas,
yes,
because they had love in their heart for the cowherd boys, and the,
yes,
brahmanas just ignored them.
Yes.
So my question is that in our spiritual life, how can we harmonize knowing the scriptures and not be too sentimental on both sides?
Not being too what?
Sentimental on both sides. I know the scriptures, therefore I'm authoritative. Or been too fanatical. You don't have to know the scriptures like the wise or the brahmanas. And so how can we harmonize those two?
They weren't learned, but they were knowledgeable. I was thinking this specifically about the words of the gopis. That you know, our acharyas are taking the words of the gopis and finding so much meaning. They weren't educated either. But they had full knowledge. How? Bhakti. Exalted bhakti. And so they had full knowledge. Now, how are we, little personalities, to get that bhakti? So our resource is sadhu, sangha, and scripture. And, you know, with sadhus, do what sadhus do. So here's our sadhus, our great acharyas. We go to the scripture. Because that will help us awaken bhakti. That's what the Bhagavatam teaches us. Trinbhatasvakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Vidyantakstoya Bhadrani Vidhunoti Saritsatam Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. Bhaktir. So we go back to the hearing and chanting so bhakti can awaken. Bhaktir Bhavati. Bhavati is a nice word. It's like voila. Bhakti arises, it manifests by that hearing and chanting. So that's what we do. Under the authority of our acharyas, so the gift of Vyasadeva and Shukadeva Goswami, then we can have real understanding. I mean, that's the heart has to be pure in order to have real understanding. Vidhunoti saritsatam. So it's not exactly balance, it's just we follow in the footsteps. By the way, that's going to be the theme of our December, whatever, winter retreat, I think that Sundari Radha's following in the footsteps. That's the theme.
Maharaj, I would like to know what you think about why although the thrust of our parampara is in the direction of Krishna and Vrindavan, then why did Srila Prabhupada install Rukmini Dwarkadish in Los Angeles?
Why did Prabhupada do what?
Install Rukmini Dwarkadish in Los Angeles.
Rukmini Dwarkadish.
In Los Angeles, and also Sitaram Lakshman in London. And, I mean, of course, they're all Vishnu Tattva. They're all expansions of Krishna. So someone asked me this recently. I didn't have a good answer.
Someone asked you and you didn't have an answer. You want me to answer?
I would like to know what your thoughts are, yeah.
Well, here's what I said and experienced in spending 20 days on Ramayana. And, you know, it's not as close to Vrindavan as Dwarka is. But it's a doorway to get to Vrindavan. Now, one doesn't have to go to Ayodhya or to Dwarka to get to Vrindavan. But hearing the glories of the Supreme Personality of God, because within him is everything, is part of everything. Let me, you know, ask your friend who's asked you this question, why does Srimad Bhagavatam, when the 10 topics are presented, why is this, you know, sarga and visarga right at the beginning, when Vidura has the opportunity to hear from Maitreya, who heard from Krishna just before leaving? He wants to know about creation. Gosh, why didn't he ask about, you know, higher topics? Because it's part of Krishna. So, what Prabhupada had in mind, the question is being asked. I don't know what he had in mind, but it's an aspect of Krishna. He, Prabhupada, wanted, this is my understanding, that Los Angeles, Southern California, that it would attract people, Rukmini Dwarkadish. It was a headquarters, then, you know, Western world headquarters, that it would be very opulent, and people could be attracted by, those who are attracted by opulence could be attracted by Krishna opulence. And from Krishna opulence, the Bhagavatam teaching takes us to Vrindavan. Yes.
Guru Maharaj, in the purport, Prabhupada is quoting the gopis saying, our husbands are jealous of Krishna, and because of their lack of devotion to him, they cannot even stand to smell his fragrance. So I'm really surprised to hear that such personalities exist in Vrindavan. I mean, I know Abhimanyu and Jatila and Kutila have that role in Krishna's pastimes.
Who did?
Abhimanyu Jatila and Kutila.
I got about 20% of what you said. Somehow, you know, the acoustics in this temple room aren't great. And my ears are bad.
I'm surprised to hear that the gopis are married to men that are jealous of Krishna, and they can't even stand to bear his fragrance.
They can't understand. They can't bear his fragrance.
I thought, you know, everyone in Vrindavan is a Krishna bhakta.
Well, Jatila and Katila. It's just, you know, it enhances the sweetness. Obstruction enhances the sweetness. Why? why are Jatila and Katila doing what they're doing? Why are the husbands doing what they're doing? Enhances the sweetness. By in Goloka, everything happens by Krishna's arrangement. That's how it happens. There's everybody there is doing what Krishna wants them to do because that's what they want. And then some of them are covered by this, you know, opposition. It's for Krishna's pleasure. And it enhances the sweetness. You know, the left wing and right wing gopis, for that matter, you know. So it's just sweetness. It's all, everything is there. Everything is there. Okay. What was the reference to Abhimanyu?
I was expressing that I'm aware that Jatila and Kutila and Abhimanyu have that function in Krishna's pastimes. But I'm surprised to hear that, you know, a large number of gopis are married also to men that have such an aversion.
Well, that they weren't all like that, some of them. But these were married gopis. It's parakya rasa. And the husband is not thinking, hey, fantastic, my wife likes another man. This is good. Go, Dasi, go. Opposition. Parakya. Okay? Anyone else? Janmashtami, you got to have something.
It also seems like bringing it to our platform.
Seems like what?
Bringing, you know, what you're just describing, the opposition. When we run into opposition in our own devotional service, sometimes it experience we it increases the sweetness, right? Because we got to take shelter.
Well, it depends on the consciousness of the person who is experiencing opposition, whether it increases sweetness or not.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, consciousness determines.
But there's that potential.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It's just like in the, I think it's 11.5.37, just after the Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam verse, you know, like
yeah,
4 or 5 later. And then there's a description of how, I don't know if it's, maybe it's in the purport from the Acharyas, that Kali Yuga, the suffering is so intense that people are forced to take shelter of the holy name, and when they do, they make incredible advancement. So it seems like that's part of the whole yuga dharma, you know, the intensity with which we undergo obstructions or challenges, and then we've got that impetus to cry to the holy name. So that obstruction, the gopi, we kind of on our level, we also can benefit tremendously from it.
Yeah. Hearing this particular message, as you were speaking, I was thinking, maybe you've seen that little video of the book distributor that goes to a car and he knocks on the window and he gives the man a book, and the man was planning to commit suicide by just carbon monoxide poisoning in the car. So he rolls down the window, takes the book, gives a donation, reads the book, decides not to commit suicide, and becomes a Hare Krishna devotee distributing books. It's Kali Yuga, you know, who knows? You know, maybe all that was just planned to help him become a book distributor, but who knows? Whatever the purpose, whatever the intention of Kali Yuga is, you know, in this particular case, it brought the person to a very special place. The distress of his situation helped him take more seriously whatever the message was in the book that he got, or something like that. You have something else.
The devotees in Pune, they for many years have conducted the Discover Yourself seminar. And they actually have very detailed statistics on what happens to the participants. But those that take up devotional service, I think it was something like 85 or 95% of them took it up because they were in such a distressful circumstance.